Well, good morning. This is going to be a great time that we're going to have together, a great service together. A number of years ago, I was gifted a DVD set of the first season of the Incredible Hulk TV show. That's right. I know. Super high quality. I mean, it's just like the graphics, the special effects, it's amazing. No CGI involved here because, I mean, you actually watched, I don't know how they did it, but this amazing picture of how David Banner would transform himself into the Incredible Hulk. You know, and it's fascinating. I enjoy the show. It's so cheesy. It makes it kind of funny. But so if you don't know the story, you know, you have Dr. David Banner. That's in the TV show. I know some refer to him as Bruce Banner. Okay, either one works depending on the comic strip that you're reading or watching. But in the TV series, Dr. David Banner, he accidentally, I don't know how this happens, but apparently it can happen that you accidentally overdose on gamma radiation. Okay. So somewhere in his experimentation, he overdosed on gamma radiation. And then what happens is when he becomes angry or agitated, he goes through what's called this metamorphosis, and he transforms from this mild-mannered Dr. David Banner into this raging creature, animal, green, with muscles popping out. And so what happens, he transforms in his shirt, which is apparently can't handle this massive muscles. His shirt erupts. I'm very thankful he must always wear stretchy pants. Because, you know, that's something that everyone really is thankful for. Because you don't want the Incredible Hulk to not have stretchy pants on when he gets angry. And so he goes through this metamorphosis, and he totally changes, and he's someone that he was never originally intended to be. And it happened in these episodes. What would happen is something bad would happen to him. Twice during the episode, he would get angry. So he would metamorph twice during every episode. You love those parts because that's when you know that the adventure would begin. This morning, we are going to hear evidence of transformed lives. You know, not like the Incredible Hulk. People aren't going to be turning green on us, and so we're saving that. And if you happen to have overdosed recently on gamma radiation, I hope that you have worn stretchy pants. Okay. But we're going to hear evidence this morning of transformed lives, of how God and His Holy Spirit comes into a person and does this work that it's a mystery. We can't see it happening. But yet he does this mysterious work within us, and we see the evidence of it, and it's just totally transformed. We see transformation all around us. We've talked about it in the past, how we see things change. You know, we look back recently, we've been watching some of these home videos with our kids. It's very depressing and exciting at the same time. It's hard to articulate. But you see right before your eyes, your children are transforming. You know, you don't see it on a day-to-day basis, but you look back even a year ago, and you see the changes that have taken place. It's like, wow. And I'm talking about physical change. But you also, if you look closely, you can also see some of the other changes that take place in people and take place in your children, how your child matures, their mentality. And if you know someone who was not a follower of Christ and then they have become and they've chosen to become a follower of Christ, oftentimes you can see this evidence of transformation in their life. And it's an amazing picture. And that's what we're going to see this morning. So in order to get there, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, because I don't want this to be the focal point, but I think this is going to help us as we prepare to hear the testimonies of these people that are going to choose to follow Christ in the waters of baptism this morning. I think it's going to prepare us to hear about what Paul has to say about this work of transformation. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it. I have no PowerPoint slides this morning. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you would like a Bible and you do not have one, Mike is in the back. We have Bibles available to people. Just slip your hand up. Nothing to be afraid about that. Mike will see your hand. Keep your hand up until you are given a Bible, because otherwise if that hand goes down, nobody maybe saw it. Maybe we don't know. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're just going to go look at verses 7 through 18. And there's this, before we get into it, there's this story, this Bible, it's this story about God's plan. It's about God's work that he has done from the beginning of time up until where we're at now. And there's this moment in biblical history where you have this group of people that God has chosen. He calls them the Israelites. All right, they got the name Israelites because there was this one man by the name of Jacob, and he wrestled with God, and they had this big old wrestling match, and God changed his name and said, "You are Israel because you wrestle with God." And so that's how the nation of Israel even got its name. But what ends up happening is this nation of Israel is it's captured in a way, but it's taken slavery, all right? They're enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. And through this process, God hears their cries, or they're just oppressed, and God's going to deliver them. So he delivers them out of Egypt in some amazing, miraculous ways. You can read about it in Exodus. And the process then is Moses is the one who is chosen to lead these people out of Egypt. And they're going out of Egypt. They part the Red Sea, or Moses parts the Red Sea, and they walk across on dry land. And then they're going through the desert. Well, they come to this base of this mountain. And there's a sequence of events that happen at the base of the mountain. But Moses ends up going up onto this mountain. And God speaks to him, and he lays out what's called the law. He gives them these commandments. We know them as the Ten Commandments. And so God lays out this to Moses, and Moses comes down, long story short, and Israel has sinned, and he breaks the first commandments. And Moses says to God, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And God, through his great grace and mercy and repentance of the people, he says, come on up. So Moses goes up to the mountain again, and this time it's a little bit different. This time when Moses is up on the mountain, God reveals himself in such a way that when Moses comes back down, this time with two tablets again that Moses chiseled out of the rock, but God wrote on them with his finger. Moses is coming down, and the scriptures say in Exodus, it says that as Moses came down the mountain, the people of Israel couldn't even look at his face because it shone so brightly because of his time with the Lord. Because of the time that he had, that face-to-face contact that he had with God, that his face shone so brightly, people couldn't even look at him. And so he would go around, this lasted for days, so he would go around and he'd actually wear this veil like a bride. He was not a bride, but he wore this veil like a bride to kind of shield so people wouldn't have to constantly be going blind from looking at his face, which shone so amazingly with the glory of God. And so we're going to pick it up and watch what happens here, because Paul is going to talk about what I just shared with you in this, and he's going to parallel it to Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, very quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time. It says, now, Paul says, if the ministry that brought death, that is the law, and just bear with me, was engraved in the letters of stone. So in other words, this law, this ministry, it's good, all right? He says it brings death because the reality of it is, if we fold into our own ideas, we have to follow the law. There's no salvation there. There's no life there just on the law alone. God knew when he gave them the law that they wouldn't be able to fulfill the law. They knew that they wouldn't be able to follow the law. They knew that they would break it. They knew it. God knew it. And so he had to do something else. And so they ended up, there had to be death. And so there had to be this atonement. There had to be this sacrifice. And so they would sacrifice these animals. They would place their sin on this animal, and the animal would then be sacrificed. They would atone for the death that had to happen because they would break the law. It's important to know. So it says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in the letters, this is the ministry of the law, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steady on the face of Moses because of the glory, fading though it was. So even though Moses had this glory and it faded, all right, it didn't last, will not the ministry of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, be even more glorious? What Paul is going to lay out for us real briefly is, as amazing as Moses' face was to the Israelites and how it just shone so brightly, we have something better. And is that not mind-blowing already? Because I've never seen someone's face glow like Moses is described here. And yet what Paul is saying is we have something better. And we're going to hear testimony of that which is better this morning. And so verse 9 it says, if the ministry that condemns men, that was the law, that is good, that is glorious, he says, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? The righteousness that God places on us because we can't do it ourselves. He places it on us so we are covered in his righteousness. We're going to hear testimony of that this morning. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison. Moses' face can't hold a candle to that which Jesus Christ brought and gives to us in the Holy Spirit. That transforming work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. That is amazing. That Paul says, what happened to Moses can't hold a candle to the transformation that happens in us when we receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, and if what is fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory that lasts forever? Therefore, verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face. In other words, Moses had to put a veil over his face to not let his face shine so brightly. We are the opposite. where we have such a hope, we have such a glory that has been given to us, we will rip off the veil and allow the world to see that work that the Holy Spirit has done in us. And we will hear testimony of that this morning. We are not like Moses, who puts a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even, verse 15, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whoever anyone turns... But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Holy, is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being, here it is, transformed into his likeness, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. What an amazing picture, what an amazing testimony. We have followers of Christ this morning. You're going to hear 8 stories of how the Lord has done this transforming work in them. And through their stories, I hope that you can see this glory of the Holy Spirit shining out of them, because that is the power of the gospel. We don't have to veil it any longer. We have this hope, and we can let the whole world see this hope, and you're going to hear 8 stories of that this morning. And this is going to be glorious. I just want to touch base real briefly on what baptism is. If you're here and you're confused as to what we do at Alliance Church when it comes to baptism, we believe that baptism is this symbol of this new covenant. Like we just read about, there's this old covenant, and Moses and Abraham, they had this covenant with God. There's 2 covenants there. And Abraham, there was a symbol. If you were going to parallel yourself with the Israelites, you had to perform certain rules, certain rites of passage. One of them was circumcision. That would kind of set you apart as part of the Israelites. Well, here as followers of Christ, we say it's baptism. And what we do is we decide to get into the water. We decide to go under, saying, you know, Jesus, you died. You were crucified, you were dead, you were buried, and you rose again. And so we parallel ourselves with that. There's nothing magic about that. Baptism is not a means by which to salvation, but it's a means by which I will say publicly, I am a follower of Christ, and I will align with him. I believe in his death. I believe in his burial. I believe in his resurrection. And as I come up, I have new life. Not because of your coming up out of the water, but it's symbolizing this idea that he has given me new life. And through that new life, I'm going to let it shine. Okay, so that's what we practice here at Alliance Church, and so there's a reason behind it. And this morning, we get the privilege of baptizing 8 individuals. And so first up is Elizabeth Boosley. Come on up, Elizabeth. Pat, you come on up too. This, you guys are just going to love this, okay? Do you need me to lower this?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. I know, I was debating as she was coming up, should I say it? And then I did. You could actually use it up. You want to hold the microphone?
No.
You just, is that okay? Can you hear her?
Can you hear me?
All right.
Okay.
This is so tempting. You, let's move it a little bit, because people like to see your shining face.
Not really.
Well, they kind of do. All right.
All right. Okay. Well, I know that I should have done this a long, long time ago, but in reality, this is going to be the 3rd time I've been baptized. So it's really just been an excuse for me to put it off. I was baptized as an infant in the Congregational Church. Then again, when I was around 5 or 6 years old, I was baptized in the Catholic Church because my dad had grown up Catholic and my mom decided to join the Catholic Church. So obviously then I was baptized Catholic. And that baptism I do remember because I kept saying, what is he going to do next? And I had to be baptized in the Catholic Church because the priest told my parents that I needed to be baptized in case the first one didn't take. So I was. I was led to the Lord by some very good friends of mine in town here in the early 70s. We attended their church here in Little Falls for a while, but my son and I lived out on the lake in Piers, and sometimes it was really difficult to get here into church, especially in the wintertime. In the latter 70s, or it was the early 80s, we started going to Faith Community Church out in Piers. I really, really liked that church, but it was a very small church, and there was really no opportunity for you to grow as a Christian. There was There were no classes. There was no Sunday school. There was really nothing. It was very small. In the late 80s, my kids and I moved from Piers to Little Falls. Through a long series of events, we were invited to this church. We were actually invited by Ted's son, Tim, who was my student at the middle school, except he invited us to come to the Lions Church. And I'm saying, the Lions are a service organization. I didn't know they had a church. And he's going, no, it's the Lions Church. And so he told me pretty much how to find it, and I was totally confused by this Lions Church thing. And so the kids and I made a trial run the day before, thinking, you know, we really kind of need to find this place. And what we found was the Alliance Church. And so we came the next day and discovered that we actually knew people at this church, and I had had some of their kids in class. And so it was very welcoming to begin with. By then, I had been getting to know Ted, and one of the first things that he asked me was, if you die today, where will you go? Well, I was pretty sure the answer was heaven, but I decided, you know, it's time to really get serious about this. So I rededicated my life to Christ, and then I started attending here every week. This was what I had needed for years and years. They had Wednesday evening Bible study, a Sunday night service, and Awana and Sunday school for the kids and the adults. This was definitely a place to learn and to grow, and a lot of people who have become our very, very close and dear friends. I do have several verses that have meant a lot to me through the years, and one that I come back to often is Philippians 4, 11 through 13. It's really the last half of 11 and the first half of 12 and 13, so it doesn't go on and on. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So now it's time for me to get serious about baptism, and this time the decision is mine. And I can publicly say that I am a born-again Christian and follower of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Liz has asked Patricia Case to share some words of encouragement for her as well. Patricia has told me it's going to be 9 minutes, but if you know Patricia, I'm just saying, if you know Patricia, we're giving her more freedom than she really ought to have. Okay.
Really?
Sorry.
Can you hear me? Oh, I just want you to know something. Stock Tanks and I are friends.
Good.
You know. Okay. But the story I'm going to relate this morning is out of Scripture. John was in the Jordan River baptizing. And as he looked around and he looked across the river, he saw Jesus standing on the bank. They had eye contact. And I actually believe when John looked into Christ's eyes, he knew who he was. So he stood there a few minutes and he looked at him. Christ stepped into the Jordan. And he went up to John and he said, John, baptize me. And John said, no, you should baptize me. And John repeated, no. John repeated, no, you baptize me. So this morning we come to baptism. And Liz, I've known you for a number of years. And I treasure our friendship. We've laughed together, we've prayed together, we've cried together. We've been each other's confidants. We have been in Awana for a few years, and it's unreal some of the stories that these children tell to us. Some of them would actually tear your heart out of what they go through. Yet we come to joy when they come to Jesus. So this morning I say to you, you are my sister in Christ. A lot of these women out here are in this spatial sisterhood of being Christians, sister Christians. But the only way you can join that club is to accept Christ as your Savior. So this morning, Liz, I say to you, you are my sister in Christ, You are a Jesus follower. You are a child of the King. Go and be baptized.
Liz has requested, which we allow in most cases, it happens from time to time, has asked for her husband Ted to help me as Liz is baptized this morning. It's okay, it's not as wet as it looks.
Is it as cold as it
looks? No, feel it, touch it first. See? I put, most of the ice is melted.
Can I, for an old lady.
I know, but I had to make sure you got under real good. Can I have you turn around this way? I'm left-handed, so this is what I need to have happen. Okay. You step forward.
I'm supposed to sit down.
You're gonna have to sit down. I know, you're gonna be halfway under already. You realize people are enjoying this. Not just because it's fun to watch. You're good. It's not. That's warm. There you go. I don't want to break your knees there. You good? There you go. Not everyone will be this low in the tank. I'm sorry, I'm just relentless.
It's right up to my neck.
I see that. We don't have to go very far.
I'm floating.
I know, this is great. Okay, remember what we do with our hands here.
Oh, no.
Plug your nose.
Oh, geez.
There you go. All right, take the other one across your torso. There you go. Liz, because of your testimony and your faith in Jesus Christ and your decision to follow him today in the waters of baptism, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't dip the towel.
I did.
Yeah. So Ted will run home and get another one.
We're lucky she's got long legs.
Yeah, I know, right?
Quit laughing, guys.
It's such a blessing, is it not? You know? Barb, would you come on up? Denny, you can come up with her. I told both Liz and Barb when I met with them how excited I am, and they just couldn't understand. Why are you so excited? It's just this is just fabulous. So to hear their testimony, and I appreciated how Liz articulated the fact that, you know, this was her choice. You know, it was her time to choose, and she articulated it so well. She had just decided to follow Christ years ago, but today was the day. I just think that's beautiful. So, Barb?
Yeah.
Let's take it off. How about this? You mind holding it?
No.
Probably going to be easier in the long run.
It really wasn't Liz's choice quite yet. We had agreed that we were going to have Pastor Ryan baptize us, but we kept putting it off. And then one Sunday, she didn't happen to be here. She was ill. And I saw Pastor Ryan, and he had discussed baptism in the service. And so I told him Liz and I were getting baptized. So I called her and said, "You're probably going to be mad at me." So that's how the story goes. Okay, my name is Barb Field, for those who don't know me. My accepting Christ has been a process of listening, learning, and growing in my faith. I was baptized a Catholic as an infant and have always attended a church. During the time of my father's illness of COPD, I always prayed and prayed for him to be healed, and he never was. He passed away after several years of a terrible disease that mentally affected the entire family. It took me a while to turn back to the Lord, but I always continued to attend church out of habit and for my boys. After all of these years, I have learned that God is always listening, but may not always give the answer or outcome that I ask for. As a child, I attended all of our catechism classes, but was never taught directly from the Bible. our priest told us that only a priest was educated enough to understand and interpret the Bible. Since attending this church, I have been very interested in learning more from the Bible and understanding the message. I have learned that from our studies in small group that we have been attending for over 10 years, and also since Pastor Ryan has been giving sermons directly from the Bible, I have been able to understand how it related to then and now. Being old and trying to learn is more difficult to remember than learning as a child, but I am getting the concept. I have always believed in the Holy Spirit. I think if you listen to the Spirit, it will guide you. I know the Spirit has guided my personal life and in our business. I have been very blessed in business and in my personal life. I try to always pray for wisdom when making a decision. I cannot quote verses, but hope I am setting an example as a Christian to others. I know baptism will not save me, but is a commitment of my faith. God has been so good to me that it is time, before it is too late for this old lady, to show publicly my faith and belief in the Lord. One of my favorite verses is John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you.
I'd just like to say that when we first started coming to church here, like Barb said, we were invited to Fousey's to join Bible study there. And so we decided to go, but Barb says, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. She says, so it's going to be really hard for me. But that's been like over 10 years ago. And it's really been fun to watch Barb grow in her faith and her love for the Lord. And where she used to hold back when it was prayer time, she joins right in with the rest of us now. And I'm so excited to see that she's made the step.
Barb has also asked for her husband, Denny, to help this morning.
And he says I can't hang on to the edge.
Right. Yeah, all of you has to be under.
Oh, I'm floating.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Okay. All right, plug your nose with one. There you go. Okay.
I'm ready.
Barb, yeah. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ and your decision to follow him today in the waters of baptism, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Embarrassing.
Don't be embarrassed.
Okay, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you. For the next series, we have a number of students who have decided to be baptized as well. I'm going to hand the microphone over to Chris, who's going to take the lead on these. Chris, come on up.
You guys like jokes? No? Okay. There we go. Well, yeah. Hey, my name is Chris Secor. You know, like many of you know, I'm the youth pastor here. And this is an exciting portion, both professionally as well as my own walk with Jesus. And seeing students take next steps in their discipleship process. And yeah, I'm super privileged that I'm at this point with six of my students, and to walk with them in this capacity. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Addy. So the first student I want to invite up is Alexis Anderson. Come on up, Alexis. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Today I'm being baptized because I want to publicly state I am a Jesus follower. I may have been baptized when I was six, but then we weren't Jesus followers, and I didn't know what it meant, but today I know.
So, I first met Alexis at a Newsboys concert. Pete Rink, one of our elders, bought tickets for you, for Taylor. And so I took you guys, along with the Boingtons, out to Newsboys concert. And from the moment I met Alexis, there's an opportunity during the concert to sponsor a child. And Alexis was so eager, and she approached me like, Chris, I want to sponsor this child. I want to support her financially. I'm like, that's great, Alexis. Can I use your credit card? No, you cannot, Alexis. But the point is, One of the things I enjoy about Alexis is the fact you have a gift for serving and for giving, right? Like, she loves to give, she loves to serve, she loves photography, for one. And so I believe that Jesus is going to use those capacities, those giftings, to utilize her in a very special way in the kingdom. One of the things I enjoy about Alexis is how passionate she is giving, serving, and just how passionate of an individual you truly are. Like, when we were at the beach, we were having a great time. You made me swim after your ball, but apart from that, that's fine, okay? So I'm excited to feel that passion and to partner with you in ministry and to watch you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, Alexis. You ready to do this?
Yeah.
All right. It's not too warm, is it?
No.
Oh, good. Can you turn it on? Thanks. Perfect. Then put your arm across your chest. There you go. So, Alexis, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right. Avery, come on up. You can take a seat, Alexis. Thank you. Hi, Avery.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Great.
The reason why I'm getting baptized is because it's a good step in the right direction. It will help me grow my relationship with Jesus, and it will help me grow as a person once I go through my upcoming teenage years.
Recently as well. She is now a sixth grader, and she loves fashion, right? Like, you are passionate about fashion. You love helping people. You love telling people about fashion. And one of the things that I've gotten to know about her, we've been recently going through a series, Christian, It's Not What You Think. And often, you and Muna, you're both very quick to the draw to talk about social justice issues and to talk about real hurts in people's lives. And that tells me, just getting to know you, Avery, you are such a caring person. Like, you got a huge heart for people. You have a huge heart for hurting people. And I love that about you. I love that she has this passion to go into the world to fix the problems, to share the problems. I mean, and that takes a lot of real courage to expose those issues to the light and to bring truth about those issues and about that. And that excites me. That brings me so much passion. So I'm excited as your youth pastor, as your friend, to walk with you in your discipleship process as we expose the hurts, as you bring Jesus into the healing of people's lives. You ready to get baptized? All right, let's do this. All right, put your arm across your chest. All right, Avery, it is my privilege as your youth pastor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Where's that stud muffin? Yeah, there he is. What's up, stud? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Great to see you.
Well, you're a little wet.
I'm a little wet.
The reason I'm getting baptized today is because I'm a Jesus follower.
So I met Carter about a year and a month or two ago. I met him with his best friend, Nathan Oden. They're going to our golf outing. And this was my first youth event here at Alliance Church. And one of the things that I have got to know about Carter over this year and a few months is your leadership potential, right? Like he has the potential to be a high capacity leader in whatever environment he finds himself in. And with that, I look forward to you bringing Jesus into that situation because realistically, man, people do listen to you. You know, you do have leadership qualities. And I think that is a genuine spiritual gift, something that the Holy Spirit has given you. And I'm excited for you to utilize your passions, whether it's football, baseball, wrestling, and to bring Jesus into those situations as you exemplify Jesus, as you talk about Jesus. You ready to get baptized, man? You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, let's do this, buddy. You need help getting in?
I got it.
You got it? All right. Can you turn around? Come on, man, it's not that bad. All right, Carter. It is my privilege as a youth pastor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thanks, man. All right, Sequoia. Come on up.
I want to be baptized to show others I'm a Jesus follower.
It's a long ways down there.
Why don't you just take the microphone off to the thing?
Because I didn't want to hold on to it.
Dad just got schooled.
Sequoia, you're the youngest of the three of our children that are getting baptized today. And you've always had a great maturity about yourself. And this is just something I found as words of encouragement for something for you to think about as you get baptized today. Your love for Jesus shines through all that you do, for there are many that will see the hope of Jesus in you. We thank the Lord for you, for bringing you this place to be baptized in his precious name and to walk in his grace for the rest of your life.
You ready to get baptized?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to say something too real quick for Sequoia. I did a little research and, you know, there's a tree, right? Called a Sequoia tree. And the really cool thing about Sequoia trees, their roots don't go down deep, but their roots actually spread out across. And the reason these trees are able to stand and withhold storms and nature and everything is because these roots with other trees intertwine with one another. And Sequoia, I haven't gotten to know you for a long time, but what I have experienced in knowing you, you intertwine with a lot of people. You love serving, and you love seeing people come together and exemplify Christ. And I really admire that about you. So, Sequoia, it is my privilege as your youth pastor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. DJ. What's up, man?
Because I'm just a Jesus follower and I want to take the next step.
I love my son. Okay, I'll try to get through this. DJ, I'm so proud of the decision that you're making today. You're being obedient to Christ and being bold in God's call on you and to publicly share your faith with others. That's very bold, and I'm so proud of that. You have such a tender heart and have always had a sensitivity and insight into the things of God. And I pray that you will always be bold and open about what God is doing in your life and honor him in all you do. I picked out a verse that I have for you, and it's Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah, so DJ is, you know, one of our youth students, and DJ, one of the things that I have gotten to enjoy as I got to know you over this past year is your thirst for knowledge, and not only your thirst for taking in knowledge, but then giving that knowledge out to people. You know, whatever capacity of ministry you are doing, vocational, bivocational, whether you become a pastor or just whatever job or career you have, I know you are going to be a wonderful missionary in that job field. So I'm excited for your future, man. You ready to get baptized?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right, DJ. It's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, Sierra.
Okay, so I have decided to get baptized today to show people that I'm a follower of Christ.
You're so wordy. Sierra, you were our firstborn child. You were our trial and error. But you've come so far with the things that you've learned about God and Christ and about where you feel that your life wants to go or where you feel your life is taking you. And we're very proud that you're taking this step to follow Jesus, to publicly show your faith, and that you may continue as you continue on through high school and life, that that you will put God first and foremost in your life. And just like with your younger sister, I did find just a passage here that I think explains what your mother and I feel for you. I pray that you have a real sense of God's hand upon your life. As you go through these baptismal waters and continue to follow after Christ, I pray that you may go from here changed and made brand new, walking hand in hand with God into all that he would call for you.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hey. One of my first memories with Sierra was on a life trip, and I asked her to read a specific bumper sticker. I won't go into more details, but that's my first memory with you, Sierra, and I love that memory. Sierra, since I have gotten to know you, you have exemplified a willingness to serve, which I think indicates you have a spiritual giftedness of serving, whether it's with children's ministry, whether it's with administration, or with music. I mean, even just talking with your parents and hearing about the soccer camp and the joy you are experiencing, and I think the joy that the kids are receiving just being in your presence says a lot about you, Sierra, and the love you have for Jesus and how that overflows to the people around you. So I'm really excited to empower you and to encourage you and to watch your passions come to fruition as you exemplify Jesus in your words and deeds. You ready to get baptized?
Yep.
All right, let's do this.
Wow.
All right, Sierra, it is my privilege as your youth pastor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I'm going to say a couple things as we wrap up. Number one, make sure that you take some time and connect and congratulate the baptism candidates this morning afterwards. You know, their choice is significant, and it wasn't just done lightly. And so if you want questions or you have questions, hear more of their story. Also, we, as Chris announced at the beginning of the service, we will be having a picnic following the service here. And for the most part, once we're done and kind of wrapped up here, we invite you to head straight out to Belle Prairie Park. This is a celebration. You know, it's an opportunity that we have to celebrate along with those people who have chosen to follow Christ and then follow him in the waters of baptism. So I encourage you and welcome you. If you have not signed up for the picnic, you are more than welcome to come. You know, you don't have to have signed up to be welcome. So we encourage you to please come. Also, I want to ask the question and have you reflect a little bit. You've heard testimonies this morning of people who have chosen to follow Christ. You've heard testimony this morning of some people who have chosen to follow Christ real recently and said, I'm going to follow him in the waters of baptism, and that happens pretty quick. You've heard testimony this morning of some who have chosen to follow Christ years ago and finally today have made that choice to follow him in baptism. Where are you at? If you've chosen to follow Christ and you have not yet been baptized, it's only fair that you ask yourself the question, why not? And give that some thought, because I would hope that you would then say and choose to say, I will follow the Lord in baptism at your next opportunity. You know, and we can do this more than, we've done it once a year for a number of years. We can do it more than once a year. You just got to tell me, hey, I want to be baptized, and we'll set something up. And so I want to encourage you in that way as well.